How flexible is your device? Are you a person on the move and need your device to move with you? The Mesa Fundi goes wherever you go. It allows you to take notes, sketch your great ideas, sign documents and get work done wherever you are. Attach Microsoft Office for the ultimate experience. Make the shift and upgrade to the Mesa Fundi with Windows 10 Professional. The Mesa Fundi, flexibility reimagined. Available online and in store at all leading retailers. Mesa recommends Windows 10 Professional. Visit mesa.co.za for more information.
What's going on? I can't travel to Durban and I really need to see the team. Our telephone bill is through the roof, our server crashed and we've lost all our files.
Are you getting frustrated with problems in your business? Win at work and calm the chaos with Vox's intelligent business solutions. Work smarter, not harder, and connect your business to the world from 899 Rand. T's and C's apply. Visit vox.co.za for more information.
Duncan MacLeod, and this is Tech Central. We're going to talk telecoms infrastructure today, and I'm pleased to welcome Darren Bedford, Chief Development Officer at WIOC, to the podcast. Darren, welcome. Good to see you.
Thank you very much, Duncan. Thank you very much for having us.
Now, WIOC is, or WIOC, is short for West Indian Ocean Cable Company. I've often heard the company's name in reference to the Easy Cable system along the East Coast. That's the East Africa submarine system, where I believe the company is a investor. What's the background to WIOC? Was it formed to invest originally in Easy?
Sure. So WIOC was set up as a special purpose vehicle just for investing on the Easy submarine cable. The Easy submarine cable went live in 2010. And we're really set up just to operate the investment for the shareholders, our 14 shareholders on the submarine cable. But since then, it's developed into a fully fledged national carrier or international carrier, going beyond the Easy submarine cable system. So, you know, now we've invested in WAX, terrestrial networks, et cetera. So, and it's... And it's been a real great journey for us.
Yeah. So it's been around for how long? Just over a decade.
Just over a decade, yeah. So we celebrated our 10th year last year. So it's been a very good experience.
Okay. So what was the thinking behind creating an SPV to invest in the Easy Cable system? And who are the shareholders in WIOC?
So the SPV was set up by a gentleman called John Shearer, who was our founding chairman. There was a funding gap on Easy, and John put a very difficult shareholding together to form this SPV to invest in Easy. Right. So we've got 14 shareholders. We've got Bofinet in Botswana. We have Tel1 in Zimbabwe, and then we have TMCell in Mozambique, Zantel. We've got Dalcom in Somalia, Gillette, and a few others. Right. So it's quite a complicated company with shareholding, but it works very well.
Okay. Is each shareholder represented on the board?
Each shareholder is represented on the board. And I think the unique things the shareholder brings to WIOC is the assets they have in each individual countries, which has enabled us to expand WIOC further into the regions.
Yes. Okay. And how did your investment into Easy work? Did you simply buy a percentage stake in the cable system?
So basically it was an investment for a 28% share. We paid X amount of US dollars and got our 28% share in the submarine cable. Currently, today, WIOC carries more than 50% of the traffic on the submarine cable. Although we only have a 28% share, we carry 50% of the traffic, more than 50% of the traffic is Why? Operated by WIOC Why on the system. I think it's because of the nature of WIOC, you know. We're very progressive. We've got the good shareholders. We've got a good extended network coverage from the Easy submarine cable. And it's just worked very well. So you know, I think for us, expanding into beyond the shores is what's created, you know, the company we are today.
Yeah.
You know, we could have just stayed at the landing stations or hardly done any development in country.
Yes.
But if you don't develop beyond the cable landing station, you know, you don't really have a sustainable business.
Sure. So you mentioned some of the other systems that WIOC has subsequently invested in. The West Africa Cable System, of course, along Africa's west coast, I think more commonly known as WACS.
Correct.
You've also invested in TE North, which is a Telecom Egypt cable, I believe, or infrastructure running through the Egyptian area. Is that right?
So that's not correct. So we did. So we're a shadow investor on WACS,
okay,
behind Tier 1 operators. We've got a shadow investment on ERG, behind some Tier 1 operators. And then we've got RU investments on Simui 3, Simui 5, AE1, etc. So that's how we extend the Easy Submarine Cable into Europe from Djibouti.
Okay. You use the term IRU. What does that mean?
Indefeasible right of use. So basically you pay a whole lot of cash and you get a lifetime access to a specific amount of capacity on the submarine cable.
Yeah. You mentioned the Simui cable. I think that's the best named submarine cable in the world. I don't know who came up with that, but it was genius.
I mean, we Simui 5. Yeah, so there's a lot of acronyms in the market.
Yeah, but Simui is a very good acronym. I think it stands for South Asia, Middle East, Western Europe. Is that right?
That's it. That's it. One of the longest cables.
One of the longest cables in the world, indeed.
That's it.
Okay. Now, do you invest primarily in subsea capacity, or do you have terrestrial infrastructure as well?
So, as I said in the beginning, you know, we're predominantly just investing in the submarine cable. Quickly, we found out that you need to go beyond the cable landing stations. You know, your asset can only go so far. So, we started very quickly and early on investing in RU or managed capacity on the terrestrial networks, predominantly in South Africa, where we didn't have a shareholder.
Mm-hmm.
And this has grown over the years. So, you know, it's grown from, you know, leasing or buying RUs on STM4s or 16s. You know, now we're at the 100 gig OTU4 level and, you know, buying and owning our own dark fiber. So it is a natural progression for submarine cable owners, especially in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And the growth of traffic over the last 2 to 3 years has been exponential. And without investment in dark fiber now, you won't be able to see further growth with managed capacity.
Sure. Interesting what you say about the growth over the last couple of years. What have you seen in terms of traffic flowing across your networks post the lockdown?
So it's very interesting. So we made a calculated decision early on when the COVID-19 pandemic started, that we would bulk up our network just in case, you know, we weren't able to get manufacturing spares or additional equipment to light further capacity. So we did bulk orders with our suppliers. We got those orders in early in May before the lockdown, and we actually did quite a lot of network deployment since lockdown through to today. And we've added probably more than a terabit of backhaul capacity just in South Africa alone.
Good grief.
And the growth in capacity post-COVID has been exponential. So, you know, there's been a lot of growth from, you know, the typical OTTs.
Yeah.
They've got their video conference platforms and the cloud, and the traffic for those has grown. And we've basically just kept adding capacity, you know, month on month for these OTTs.
Yeah, that's incredible. Take us through a little bit about what you're doing in South Africa specifically in terms of infrastructure development.
So since 2010, we've been rolling out, you know, bits and pieces of capacity. As I said, you know, we started off, you know, typically with STM 16s and 10 gigs. And it's only after in the past 3 years that this has gone from, you know, us probably having 200 to 300 gigs on the backhaul in total in South Africa, going to terabits of backhaul. And it's all been driven by the OTTs. And on the back of that,
are we talking companies like Netflix, for example, when you say OTT?
Netflix, Amazon, Microsoft, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
Now, these people are driving internet in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great because it's driving the cost down. And what's it doing is we're delivering more capacity,
yes,
which we like. So it's pointless having a submarine cable system that's got 12 terabits, and 10 years down the line, you still have 8 terabits left. So you want to get rid of your capacity, you know, and we like doing large capacity and promoting growth. And we've invested now in NLD 1-9. We've deployed...
what is NLD 1-9?
So NLD 1-9, it's the routes from Cape Town to Johannesburg, Johannesburg and Tanzini. It's Johannesburg on the northwest ring through to Botswana borders and back around to Rustenburg. And then NLD 5 and 6 is the new coastal route. And then we've invested from East London to Bloemfontein. So we've basically got a figure eight ring around South Africa now as a dark fiber network.
Right.
Traditionally in the past, we've purchased part access to fiber pairs. We bought spectrum and we've lit spectrum on other people's networks. And with the growth that we've had over the last 2 years, we decided that we had the natural progression was for us to own our own dark fiber and to light our own fiber so that we could deliver services much quicker. And I think one thing's unique about WIAC is the speed that we deliver our services, whether it's a 1 gig, 10 gig or 100 gig. We get them delivered within weeks, not months. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the difference.
Right.
Carry on.
I was just going to ask, we've seen one of your competitors in the subsea business expanding into the services business as well, launching an ISP, even in the consumer space most recently. Is that something you'll consider as WIAC, or will you stay very much in the wholesale business?
WIAC will always be a wholesale player.
Okay.
So even though we invest in long-haul networks and we invest in metros, what we're doing is we're creating an ecosystem for smaller ISPs that don't have the resources or the funding to go and build those networks. So it's basically another extension for our submarine investments. So right. Now we can get right close to the customer, but the ISP or the enterprise player will always own the customer.
Sure. And the data center business, is that something that interests you potentially?
Potentially it's something we may look at. We've obviously operate cable landing stations around Africa for easy.
Yes.
So it's a similar sort of a business, but it's something we may look at too in the future.
Okay. All right. Great. I wanted to explore the new cables that are coming to Africa. We've seen the news that Equiano and To Africa, the former being built by Google and the latter having backing of a range of companies, including Facebook. What impact do you see these cables having on the African continent? Do you think we're going to have a glut of bandwidth? Is it justified to be building two cable systems like this with the sort of capacity that both Google and Facebook are talking about?
I think the new cable investments are very much needed. So if we look at WAX, Easy, Seacom, and the cables on the west coast of Africa in Nigeria, etc. You know, these cable systems are almost 10 years old. The old consortium type cables, they're reaching end of capacity upgrade life. So yeah. We are getting to a point where, you know, when OTTs are wanting to activate 1, 2, or 3 terabits of traffic over a time period, we know these older cable systems can't support that now. So, you know, what's the future going to hold? Yes, there will still be Easy and WAX for the foreseeable future, but we do need new cable systems to come in to bring this additional bulk capacity to Africa.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a massive growth in Africa over the next 2 to 5 years. You know, if we look not just at South Africa, if we look at the trends in South Africa, that's going to replicate in Nigeria and Ghana and things like that as soon as the terrestrial networks are more developed.
Yes. Yes, so insatiable demand coming.
Definitely.
Is WIAC interested in participating in either of these two new cable systems?
So into Africa, we will be involved in all the new submarine cable systems, and we will have access to these systems and capacity, et cetera. And this is one of the reasons why we're investing so heavily on our submarine networks. Mm-hmm. On our terrestrial networks, because we do need to ensure that we're ready and ready in time well before these investments come to fruition, that we can deliver large-scale capacity from these cable systems, because they are going to be the 100 terabit systems. They're massive systems.
Unbelievable.
You know, they're multiple fiber pairs now. You know, Easy and Wax are two fiber pair systems. You know, so with a whole lot of shareholders sharing one pair, now you're going to have 12 pair systems. So the amount of capacity is astronomical.
Prices
have. We always say there's, you know, there's always too much capacity, but yeah. There always seems to be more growth.
Yeah, it just keeps coming. We've obviously come a long way since the bad old days when Telkom was the only game in town in terms of international capacity, and when prices were exceptionally high. I forget who was telling me this the other day, but they said that the price of international bandwidth into South Africa has fallen by more than 99% since Telkom's monopoly was broken. With these additional cables coming, is there scope, do you think, for further price reductions on the international bandwidth?
We always say that the price can never really get any lower, but it always does. So there is a point where there is a cost to capacity.
Of course.
You know, there is an operational cost. So there always will be a point where you can't go any lower. But we're seeing now, I mean, if you look in 2010, an STM1 was selling for $160,000 a month.
And how fast is an STM1?
155 megabits.
Okay.
So you can see the demand, and then as demand increases, the price declines, and it does get to a point where, you know, capacity and price decline sort of narrowed together. But it will still get lower.
Yeah. How much lower?
I can't tell you that. It's the market makes its own decisions. Yeah. We like to sell capacity at fair market value. You know, obviously we've got investments to repay, so you can't drop it to zero. Yeah. But I think it still has some way to drop.
Fascinating. Well, Darren Bedford is the Chief Development Officer at WIOC. Thank you so much for sharing your insights with Tech Central. It was very good to talk to you today.
Thank you very much.